Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Village Board meeting. Will you all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the February 7th Village Board meeting. We're glad to have some folks here tonight. We will call the meeting to order. Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich has been excused. Trustee Atwood is going to be a little late. President Rafter here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis. Here. Thank you. Do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda? Trustee Harris.
Just making sure there's no changes. Move to approve as presented, please.
Second.
Second by Trustee Dennis. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number three, presentation, recap of the 2016 and challenges in 2017 by Assistant Chief Goplin, Green Bay Metro Fire Department and Alley Fire Department.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just want to thank you for inviting me to come and talk with you tonight, give you a brief update on how things went in 2016, some of the things that we're looking at in 2017, and answer any questions that you might have. We'll go over some of our 2016 initiatives, give you a brief overview of some of the statistics, not to bore you with a bunch of numbers, and then also any changes that we are looking at department-wise or response-wise in 2017. So in 2016, one of the things that we put a lot of emphasis on was becoming what is called an OSRO, or an oil response organization, that works within the petroleum industry and within the United States Coast Guard to respond to any oil spills, significant oil spills. And obviously, with the Fox River running through the whole of Brown County and bringing in significant amounts of oil now through barges, essentially, this has become a much more prominent concern for us. As you know, with the pipeline down that comes into the community, everything is now coming in via barge and going out via truck. So everything's on the water now. So we partnered with some local petroleum corporations and port users, and they actually contributed funding to purchasing a new fireboat, which you see there in the picture. That's Marine One. Happens to be out at the 4th of July celebration there. It can do spill response, firefighting, marine firefighting, and it has a significant rescue capability as well. So that's obviously available up and down the river, throughout the bay. We'll transport it if we need to, wherever anyone would ask for it. We also reorganized our training division. Our training division used to consist of two division chiefs. Those positions were eliminated, and one assistant chief, one new assistant chief position was created. So I'm the assistant chief of operations. The other assistant chief, his name is Chris Eamon. He started in early January, January 1, actually. And he's in charge of EMS training and support services. So that was just a fairly large reorg for us and a redistribution of duties and so on. Three captains now are assigned to the training division. There were two there previously. The workload has been divided amongst them for all fire training and all EMS training, and it actually gives us more people to accomplish an ever-increasing workload of training for all the responsibilities that we have as a department. So that's been working out very well, and all of those personnel in those positions are doing a great job for us. The other thing, one of the really big initiatives that we looked at in 2016 is focusing on some of our cancer prevention initiatives. A lot of study recently has been put into the increased prevalence of cancer in firefighters. Now, that might seem logical, because it is logical, except that they've really been studying exactly how we get it, what causes that increase. And just some of the quick statistics, we're 2 times more likely to develop mesothelioma. A lot of that is related to asbestos exposure in the buildings that we fight fires in. When we fight a fire, the building's being destroyed, the asbestos becomes airborne, things like that. We have a statistically significant increase in digestive, urinary, respiratory cancers, and a significantly increased likelihood of skin cancer. And one of the things that has been determined through these studies is how the skin cancer is transmitted, or how it becomes more likely, not transmitted, but how you develop it based on transmission of contaminants through your firefighting gear. Okay. Well, in order to do that, you can take some fairly simple measures, actually, and we've done that. That is a washer extractor, and this is the washer extractor in the Alloway Fire Station. We now have, as of 2016, washer extractors in every single fire station. Basically, this is a really heavy-duty commercial washing machine. It extracts the water out of the clothing after you after it's done being cleaned, and then runs a cycle through so that it is, I won't say sanitized, but it's extremely clean when it comes out of there. We have issued, transmission through the gear is one of the biggest ways to get exposed to cancer-causing products. The hoods that we wear that protect our ears and our neck are another way of that transmission occurring. They're very thin, and the byproducts of combustion go right through them. They get into your neck where all your major blood vessels are and so on, and then it just gets pulled right into your system. So we've issued multiple hoods to everyone. So they used to have just one. Everybody had just one hood, right? Well, now we make sure you have two, so when the one gets dirty, you can wear a second one. Everybody's got a backup set of gear, all that kind of stuff. We're also implementing a new SOG that talks about immediate decontamination on the scene. Basically, a fire is now a little miniature hazmat incident because of what's in the smoke. Okay, so we make sure we decon our people right away on scene. Yeah.
What's an SOG?
It's a standard operating guideline, so it's basically just a policy that guides our personnel on actions to take in a certain situation.
Thank you.
Okay. So that SOG is actually being issued very, very shortly. It's in our final phase of review right now. It should be out in about the next week. So in 2016, just to go over some statistics for you, these statistics initially here are just incidents occurring in the village of Alloway. The picture there is on Hilltop Way on January 25th. Within Alloway, there was a total of 29 fire calls, active working fire incidents. There were 29 in 2016. 17 of those were structure fires or building fires. Our target response time for the first engine on scene in within the village is 5 minutes and 30 seconds. Our average response time within the village is 4 minutes and 6 seconds to get that first engine there. First engine getting there and putting water on the fire is absolutely critical to getting it stopped and not spreading to any other building or nearby vehicle or whatever the exposure might be. Another statistic that we look at is how long does it take us to get 15 personnel on scene at a fire? It takes us, per national standards and again significant studies, that's the number of people it takes on a simple room and contents fire to really stop it in its tracks and prevent it from getting any worse. Our target time within the village is 9 minutes to assemble 15. Our average response time is at 6 minutes and 36 seconds. Emergency medical responses, so the acronyms up there, ALS and BLS. ALS stands for advanced life support. BLS stands for basic life support. The difference really is advanced life support is all the paramedic skills that come along with it, certain medications that they can administer, advanced cardiac training and so on, airway management, all those kinds of things that are more of an advanced medical skill. We had 1,073 of those responses in Station 8's district, Station 8 being the Alloway station. Target time, 6 minutes. Our average time is 4 minutes and 44 seconds to get an ALS unit on scene. So an ALS unit is either an ambulance or an engine with paramedics, trained paramedics on it, okay, that can deliver those skills. Total responses for the units in Alloway, ambulance 481 went on 1,631 calls, and engine 481 went on just under 1,800 calls. So if we look at the entire department then, in total we went on almost 12,500 incidents, and you can kind of see the breakdown there of the different types of incidents. The vast majority of what we do is EMS and rescue, so medical services to citizens and visitors of the communities. Also then, 237 working fires, person in distress is another big category for us. That's a lot of, there's a lot of things that fit within that. But basically, if anybody needs help, they call, we show up, we help them out. That kind of falls in that category. So then 2017, what are we looking at in 2017? We're actually hoping to add an ambulance to the system in 2017. We're adding an ambulance out at Station 7, which is on the far east side of Green Bay, out by UWGB. That will be staffed 35% to 40% of the time, and we're seeking the additional personnel, phasing it in over 3 years in 17, 18, and 19. So we'll be asking for more personnel there. That would give us a sixth ambulance in service, and that ambulance will help back up Alloway in case there's the ambulance in Alloway is out handling a call. That just adds another ambulance to the mix to help back things up. There would be no budget impact in Alloway to do that. Also in 2017, we're currently in the process of putting a fourth fire marshal position in. There's a lot of increased workload there. Part of that workload is just fire investigations, fire inspections, plan reviews, and things like that. So they'll be able to take on some of that workload that just as development happens, and thankfully development is picking up everywhere. So that makes us busier in the plan review stage as well. So a lot more inspections to work with. Obviously, our call volume is always on an upward trend. There's just a lot going on that keeps ratcheting up the call volume. We've got increased demands on us for new types of services. One of the biggest things that we're seeing now, unfortunately, is intentional acts. People taking some kind of hostile intentional act. That requires us to take on additional training and responses that we call the Rescue Task Force. And that's where we go in jointly with law enforcement. They protect us in the middle of an active incident where someone's doing something intentional, and we're able to immediately begin medical treatment and remove people from that circumstance. Okay, and that's been shown to provide significantly increased victim survivability in those circumstances. Our training requirements, obviously, as we take on more things like this and more mandates come down about how many hours of training you have to have, and you take on more skills, all of those skills require additional training, so those training requirements keep ratcheting up. We rely more and more on technology to help us accomplish that, to help make sure that we get all of those requirements met. One of the issues that we do see as a challenge still is we don't have a fiber connection into the Alloway Fire Station. We do so much training via our telepresence system, so it's a video conference system. A lot of times we can't make that work through Alloway into the Alloway station, and then we have to either send people over there to do the training or bring them into Station 1 to do the training because the connection just can't support the data we need to push through it. So that's something that we'd really like to see looked at, is if there's a way to work through the process of adding a fiber connection to that station. It would help us out significantly with accomplishing some of those, not just the training element, but all of the data and reporting and so on that we need to accomplish. Okay. The last thing I want to talk to you about quickly is some of you may recognize some of the employees that in 2016 decided to retire. One of those is Brian Becker. Brian was instrumental in helping us negotiate through the process of the merger of the departments, and he retired in at the very end of 2016. He retired. He retired as a captain, and then Brad Neville, who was also with the village for many, many years, and was just a remarkably active member of the fire investigation task force, which helps determine cause and origin. Brad decided to retire as well, and he left as a firefighter, and I can't say enough about both of those guys. They were very helpful, great employees, and I'm sure they were excellent employees of the village, as well as during the merger, they were just great to work with. So I want to thank you guys in the village here for your support. You know, anytime we need anything or we have a question or anything, we give a quick call to anybody over here, and they're on it instantly. And we try to be as responsive as well, and I certainly hope we are. And if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
With the washer that's at the unit here in Alloway, where does the water byproduct go? Is it, I'm sure there's some kind of a process through there, but...
It all goes out through sanitary sewer, just like any other washer does. Okay, so it's all functioned, flushed through and cleaned through the water system.
So are there particulates that will go through the system and get back into the actual sewage system for the village?
It follows all the codes and all the standards, so the process that you use to treat your water would filter all of those things out. So it's like any industrial commercial washer setup. It goes exactly out the same sewer or same system that even your home washer would go through, but it's filtered, it's cleaned, and those processes, it's diluted to the nth degree by the time it gets out there.
And the filters are in the washers themselves?
There's filters in the washers, and then it also goes through the treatment process in the system, in the water system.
And there's one in each one of the fire department locations?
That's correct. Yep, there's a washer extractor in every station, and there's a geared dryer so that you can expedite the drying of it.
And how many stations are there in the Brown County area?
Well, I'm just talking about our department. So we have 7. There's the one in Alloway, and then there's 6 stations in Green Bay that all have a washer extractor in them.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Other questions for the chief?
I know in 2015 we moved down to a class 1 in terms of the designation with insurance. Is that remaining stable? Any chance of switching back to a 2?
No. They do a reevaluation every 10 years or so. And we view it as we moved up to a class 1. Class 1 is the best there is.
Understood.
So we look at it as a move up, and we're striving all the time to make sure that we stay there and that we the initiatives that we put in place and any changes that we make don't impact that. So we don't anticipate any move backwards. And, you know, everything that we do, we try to make sure we keep a watch on that and how we're going to meet those criteria.
Thank you. I didn't know it was reassessed every 10 years, so I wasn't sure about the time frame.
Yeah, it's about every 10 years that they do it, and you can request a reassessment. If you feel you've made a change that will help your rating, you can request a reassessment if you'd like. So.
And then when you were looking at the different response times, you were talking about the average times. There's also, in a couple of the old presentations, there were different things where we had to get, let's say, under 8 minutes 90% of the time.
Right.
For those different instances where we need to meet a threshold of 90% getting to that level, are we meeting all of those as well?
Yeah, what you're talking about is what we refer to as the fractile response time. And to be honest, I wasn't 100% sure what was in any of the old presentations because some of the data that got moved over to me was gone. So we are meeting every benchmark that's in the contract and in the agreement to meet.
Okay. That's the contract's good. I just want to make sure that we're servicing everyone in the village the way we should be.
Yep. So. Yep. I think our data and our statistics show that we're able to meet the requirements that are out there, and actually in every case that we have outlined, we're exceeding that. So
because I know in last year was brought up just to get to that very southeast portion of LA can be a challenge.
Yep, and we actually talked about that quite a bit when we were in the merger discussions, is that corner can be a bit of a problem. And when you look at that corner and the data that comes out of it, it all depends on how many responses were there in that corner of the village that you know, you could say if you had one response there and you didn't meet the response time, then 100% of the time you failed. Well, that is obviously very, very skewed and flawed data. So when you look at it, you try and do the fractile response time and look at it as a bigger picture, and we are meeting those requirements.
Thank you.
Yep.
I was surprised to hear that lung cancer wasn't more prevalent in firefighters?
Well, the mesothelioma is a form of lung cancer, and a lot of those concerns, honestly, are addressed by the breathing apparatus that we wear, the mask that you get where you get the air from the tank on your back. Mm-hmm. So actually, a lot more of the cancers that they're finding now that are more prevalent are skin cancers and cancers that you get from absorbing the material into your pores and bloodstream and so on. The respiratory side of it, we've got a really great device to protect it as long as everyone uses it, and we're very strict about that. But mesothelioma is very aggressive, and that's one of the main players.
And we don't have fiber to the fire station?
Fiber optics is on Webster Avenue, yep. And the last cost estimate we received was approximately, if I'm not trying to remember it, but I want to say it was like $40,000 to make that connection.
Do we have fiber coming to this facility?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I wonder if it's easier to come here than once until we can get something done.
I guess that would certainly be a conversation I could have with staff, but it's one of those things that you kind of have to have. Do you have the video conference system here,
Brand
capability,
question.
And so on?
Okay.
So, you know, those are, as the technology needs increase, of course, it just becomes more and more problematic that the easier, most effective method of delivering training a lot of times is done via online materials or video conferencing, and that just consumes huge bandwidth.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you.
Thanks for your hard work.
Absolutely.
Okay, we will move on to agenda item number 4, announcements.
I'll take the wild game. Just a reminder, it is, I believe it's the 30th, do you remember? 35th, maybe, Wild Game Feed at St. Matthews, March 2nd from 4 to 10. And the ladies are having a retreat that way the day after that, and we are smudging the building.
Thank you. And then on May 6th, there is a Walk to Mary, which in part goes through the village, starts down in De Pere, and goes up to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Hope in Champion. I'm looking for where you can get more information, but I'm sure you can get more information at the diocesan website, which would be gvdioc.org. And the last announcement is there will be no village board meeting on February 21st. So for our regulars, we're not having a village board meeting, our second village board meeting of February, because we have a primary election going on. And we use this room for that. Are there any other announcements from staff? Are there any other announcements from the board? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on to agenda item number 5, public appearances. Is there anyone in the audience tonight who would like to speak to the board about anything that is not on this evening's agenda? Sir, come on up. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Could you give us your name and address, please?
Sure, it's Tom Lawton, L-A-W-T-O-N, at 1262 South Quincy.
Thank you, Tom.
I have a concern. On Quincy Street, we've been talking for the last couple of months about a quite noticeable odor in the air. It smells like tar. If you could envision driving down the road in summer and they're putting tar on the road, that's what it smells like.
Really?
And this has been going on since about December, January. So what I did was I called Lisa at the Brown County Health Department. She informed me that they had a fire at a manufacturing plant. There's another plant across the river that was giving them some concerns. And also, the coal piles were spontaneously igniting. But I told her this is something that's going on every day, not just periodically. Now, I have to admit, my wife seems to think that it seems to be getting somewhat better. But I've lived here since 1992, and I've never smelled this before. And I called the village to see if this ever came up before. Nobody knew anything about it. And I'm just wondering if, this is Janine, she lives down the block from me, about four or five houses south of me. And she has it worse than I do, for some reason. I don't know why. It seems to be more towards her end of the block than where I am. And I don't know what's causing this, but it is very noticeable. It's very noticeable. I have asthma, and it bothers my respiratory system somewhat. And so I just wanted to, I don't know why I'm here, I guess. I just asking if anybody knows anything about this, what might be causing this. Has anybody voiced any concerns about it? Because she will admit it's, I mean, you go outside and you can smell this. It's in the air, you can smell it. And when you're driving down in the wintertime with my windows up in my car, and I can smell it inside the car when I'm driving.
And that's all the time that you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, it does, I have to admit, in the last, maybe the last week, it seems to have been getting somewhat better. Sunday, I came home from church this last Sunday, and I noticed it right away as soon as I got out of the car.
Is it stronger one part of the day versus another?
Well, that's what they told me at Brown County. They said what you have to do is when you notice it, make it like a log or something. Keep track of when you smell it, what it is. And they gave me a number to call, and they said we can send somebody out and investigate they can measure, look at the air and see what's going on and stuff like that. So I've been doing that, but I guess I didn't know if anybody in our area in Alloway has expressed any concerns about this. It seems to be coming from across the river, mm-hmm. Right?
It's very toxic.
Huh?
And it just seems to be within our block, maybe really? A little bit in the next block down.
Wow.
I mean, it's very concentrated. Sunday morning, right, I noticed it a couple different times during the morning. And it's almost like, it's very toxic. It's almost like a petroleum smell.
Yeah.
So what I did was I looked up, like, the shipping records, and I see that we do have petroleum products coming into Green Bay. Basically being distributed to U.S. Oil, which is located on Broadway, and wondering if they're pumping into trucks that they might be emitting some of these odors,
mm-hmm.
But it is very, very strong.
And with that, do you know, is U.S. Oil, is it pretty much right across the river from you?
I believe it's in the 1200 block of Broadway, and
okay.
We're in the 1200 block.
Now, in the wintertime, obviously, we have our windows up and stuff like that, but I do a lot of gardening, and I was thinking, if it's like this summer, this is going to be a huge problem,
mm-hmm.
You know, if it's like this in the summertime, with the windows up and outside and stuff.
To the best of our knowledge, Brad, have we had any complaints?
No, the only thing that we know was when you called the village hall to inform us, but no, we haven't heard anything. I've been meaning to go over there, but I've been sick. You can't spell anything. No.
Well, I thank you for coming to us. That's at least we can look into it and see what's
somewhere. I mean, as soon as I walk out the house, you can smell it. The second you're outside the house, you can smell it. You know. So I don't know where this is coming from. It seems to me it's coming from across the river. That's my guess. I'm not going to swear that's where it's originating from, but that's what it seems like to me.
Are you recording? Where the wind is coming from, the days you smell it stronger?
I don't know if I know
you want to think about that.
On windy days or not.
And I'm kind of noticing that too. Is there a lot of cloud cover? Is there, you know, what the atmosphere conditions are that might lead to this being stronger at some times or others? But I don't think that's real relevant.
I would think if it's there all the time, someone can come out.
And it's not all the time. It's periodically. It's not 24/7.
Okay.
But I would say, would you say daily? I'm not home during the day, so...
I'm retired, and I'm going to say from about the middle of December through January, I notice it almost every day. And some days it was really kind of nauseating, the smell of this. I mean, it's like you're living next to an oil refinery or something. Okay. You know,
in the last week,
my wife commented to me just yesterday. She thought it was getting somewhat better, but Sunday it was right back on the map again. So
it's not like a weekday thing or a weekend thing. There's no kind of pattern.
Yeah, it seems to be daily. Yeah, and like I said, I've been here for a while, and this year's the first time I've ever noticed it. So I didn't know if something changed in Green Bay that's causing this.
Not that we expect you to do the investigation, but have you noticed anything maybe on Jackson or Van Buren, if it's going from west to east?
I mean, I just, you know, when I'm driving around, I just notice it in this very concentrated area, like I said, within a block and a half. If that, you know... And that's probably why you haven't heard from other people yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just beginning to formulate a neighborhood watch. We're starting to talk about things.
Great.
And, you know, this has definitely come up as a strong point with the neighborhood concerns.
Tom, you said you are keeping some kind of a log?
Yeah, I just started doing that. That's what Lisa at Brown County suggested I do. So I'm starting to do that. I'm just now starting to do it. Because when I called, she said, well, you need to have... You know, what time did you smell it? You know, where did you smell it? That type of thing. So I'm starting to do that. And she gave me a number to call for that information. So she was very helpful.
Do you know Lisa's last name?
Boy, no. Sorry. Okay. I got her phone number.
Can we get the phone number?
Let's see. Well, I called the Brown County Health Department at 448-6418. I left a message, and then she called me back.
Okay.
She called me back within a couple hours. And she gave me an emergency number. She said if it's really bad, she gave me an emergency number to call if that's okay, if that happens.
Okay.
So, anyway, for whatever it's worth, I just thought I'd bring that to everybody's attention.
Well, I thank you both for coming tonight and bringing that to our attention. We'll touch base with Brown County and see if we can figure out.
Do you think that that's a possibility that, you know, when U.S. Oil is distributing these petroleum products, you know, pumping them into trucks, that they could be emitting this odor into the air or what their process is?
It's set up so that they should have a vacuum system to of the
way
it goes
in. Yes. Yeah, just like the gas stations.
There was a few years ago, I don't know the name of the company now, but a few years ago there was a company which had not an oil smell, but a horrendous smell. That was back then. It was called Brantech. I don't know what it's called now.
I know about that.
That's a few years back. there was quite a controversy around that. When you document the day, date, time, and possible wind directions that you're doing, you will then be able to be in touch with the health department, who will in turn be able to check and see when processing is being done from any of the manufacturing companies that are there. And they'll be able to follow up and get a more specific idea of where it's emanating from according to when their systems are active. So that'll give you a much better idea, a much more accurate idea of where it's coming from.
Yeah, we'll start doing that for sure.
And we'll look into it as well. Thank you. And
I think we need to give Jen's name and address. Yeah. Did Debbie get it?
We have the address and the name.
Oh, my name is Jean.
Oh, Jen, I'm sorry.
Jean Krasinski. And I'm at 1238 South Quincy Street.
Very good.
All right,
thank you both very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Brad, could you see that Brad has your phone number? Could you share your phone number with Brad? Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else in the audience this evening who would like to speak on something that's not on this evening's agenda?
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bed Committee. 2 months ago, I appeared here and I made some comments, and I was shocked to find out that it's only today, 2 months later, that the minutes from that meeting are now just going to be approved. Minutes from board meetings should be approved at the next meeting in 2 weeks, but definitely not more than a month later. There's a problem there, and I have a big concern. I'm asking the village board members, once again, to contact the Wisconsin Attorney General with regards to what I consider negligence and misconduct on the part of the State Historic Preservation Office, not the Society, but the Historic Preservation Office, and the Department of Transportation with their designation of Sunset Park as a historic district. Some modifications were made, and they changed the name from Sunset Park to Sunset Circle Historic District. And I've discussed this in detail with Attorney Duffy at a three-hour meeting that I had with the executive committee, which included the village president, the village manager, and who are neither here, no longer with the village, and with Attorney Duffy. 2 months ago, Attorney Duffy said, according to the minutes, that I provided no evidence of any misconduct. I filed a open records request to see the file on it, and I've been notified by the village that there are no papers prepared by Mr. Duffy with regards to an investigation into the misconduct. Thousands of dollars have been spent paying Mr. Duffy to look into this matter. It's been going on for almost 4 years now. My first contact with the village was 4 years ago when I discovered I was recruited by the village to participate in an ad hoc board, and I provided them with information and data to use in the survey, and that data was misused, and from there I discovered that there was misconduct on the State Historic Preservation Office, and from the State Historic Preservation Office report, they got the DOT to engage in misconduct too. So that Section 106 study on Sunset Park Historic District, which resulted in the moving of a pedestrian crosswalk, maybe only by 50 feet or 100 feet outside of the historic district, to prevent having to do a Section 106 study, impact study with that district, was very problematic. So that's going on here, and with the new study that just came out with the DOT, I'm asking the board to once again take a look at the Section 106 study that was done on Sunset Park Historic District, which was then renamed Sunset Circle Historic District because of some misconduct, and that was done now 4 years ago, and I had asked Mr. Duffy, and we've had extensive conversations and correspondence, and he says that there never was an investigation done, and there's no documentation at all in his files, and that those files don't exist. And I find that hard to believe after spending thousands of dollars on that file, that not a single page exists in Mr. Duffy's files. And you're going to be, Mr. Duffy has now resigned, and you're going to be hiring a new attorney, and I would like those files turned over to the new attorney. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who'd like to speak to the board this evening on something that's not on this evening's agenda?
Mr. President, one more question in regards to reference to an executive committee meeting. I'm uncertain as to what executive committee meeting it was being referred to.
Okay.
As I'm unaware of any.
Yep. Do you need an answer to that?
No, I just want to note that there is no awareness within the village itself of any executive committee. That does not exist as noted.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 6. We will open the public hearing to consider adoption of Chapter 475, Zoning, Chapter 468, Shoreland Wetland Zoning, and Chapter 460, Land Division of the Municipal Code, by adoption of a new code of ordinances titled Code of Village of Alloy. Is anyone in the audience here tonight to speak to any of those issues? For the second time, is there anyone here to speak on these issues? For the third and last time, is anyone here to speak on these issues? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing. Moving on to action item number 7, action regarding adoption of Ordinance 2017-02, revising and consolidating, amending, supplementing, and codifying the general ordinances of the Village of Alloy. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Darkey.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion?
It's much simpler to use. Much simpler to use.
I have one suggestion on a change of wording. On Schedule A, it'd be page 15, section 432-4B as in boy, subsection 1. Just talks about placing any garbage into a cart for collections, place it into a plastic garbage bag. I was thinking we should remove the word plastic so that we're not limiting ourselves and it just gets placed into a garbage bag. If we're making all these changes, let's make one other just to not limit ourselves on plastic. That's the only suggestion I have.
Okay.
I think I'd allow that in my motion to be changed.
Friendly amendment.
Yes. Any other discussion? Roger, did you want to say something? I'll suspend the rules. Would anyone on the board like to make a motion to suspend the rules?
So,
Trustee Harris? Trustee Dart, seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up, Roger.
I'm speaking specifically. I think the new village code and the whole organization of it is great. It's money well spent. So it's going to be very helpful to everybody when that has to work with the code. I brought this particular issue up a couple years ago, and it relates to what is now section 300.14. Specifically paragraph D. It relates to pedestrians. See it on my phone, but it's it has to do with causing an obstruction in the street. The big problem with the way that's written is it assumes that we provided for pedestrians to have adequate space to move around in a non-transportation manner. Most of Alloy streets have no sidewalks. If a person is going to walk their dog or run for exercise or do any number of activities, walk with their family to one of the trails or one of the parks, those activities are basically put in a hazardous category by this specific section of the ordinances. And the reason is because in the event a motorist strikes any of these pedestrians, engaging in these recreational activities and walking your dog is a recreational activity, it's not transportation. Ultimately, it goes to a judge deciding who has fault for this occurring. With an ordinance like this, it places all the blame on the pedestrian. It doesn't allow for placing blame on the motorist because the pedestrian is doing something in the street which the village basically prohibits. It works like the zoning code. The zoning code is set up so it lists, it just says everything's prohibited except these things.
Okay.
Somehow I think we need to provide for what is permitted for pedestrians to do in the street. Okay, now, I'm not going to ask you to do that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue that's been sitting around for a long time.
Yeah.
It's an issue we don't have a lot of problems with because we don't have crashes in this to a great extent, from my understanding.
Okay.
But I think it's a concern for our residents and other communities. I've looked at state law, and state law would not prohibit us from, you know, saying what people can do in our neighborhood streets. Now, in our major thoroughfares where we have sidewalks or are planning to put sidewalks, yeah, we should have some more restriction there. But again, state law does cover obstructing traffic in all manner of means. So it's just something I think the village should look at and see if we can come up with some forward-thinking way to protect pedestrians doing what they normally do on our village streets, on our neighborhood streets.
Thanks for bringing that up, Roger. So that's 300.14?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have a motion to pick up the rules? Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, so we have a motion on the table to approve the changes as proposed with the slight modification to taking out the word plastic in reference to garbage bags. We have a first and second. Do all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the village code, historically it's been very tough to find anything about our code and to find out when new people move into town, what am I allowed to do, what am I not? So we're making them all electronic record and searchable, so we'll be able to see, people will actually be able to figure out what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. And thank you to everyone for that hard work on that.
President Raptor?
Yes, ma'am.
Next meeting, can we put that section 300 back on the agenda so we make sure it doesn't get dropped?
I think that would be a good thing
to do. Just bring it back for review-wise in everybody's minds.
Yep. Thank you. Moving on to number 8, action regarding Plan Commission recommendation regarding petition for rezoning of 2202 Woodrow Way, parcel AL-295-1, schedule a hearing. The petition has since been withdrawn, so I'm guessing we don't need a public hearing.
There are some familiar faces in the crowd. I believe they came to speak on this issue. I don't know if the board wants to entertain any other comments.
Would the board like to suspend the rule? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue?
I just have maybe a question.
Okay, just give me one second.
Absolutely.
Do I have a motion? Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up. And if you'd be kind enough to give us your name and address.
Kathy Fusick, 142 Dauphin Street. Myself and some of my neighbors were at the meeting with the Plan Commission about rezoning this, and
okay.
I was thrilled to see that this has been withdrawn. And I wanted to confirm then that the individual from the gas station has actually withdrawn his petition to have this rezoned and do what he wanted to do.
Yes, yes.
Okay, now I know he could come up with something different, but I guess that was, you know, the neighborhood's concern. We just wanted to make sure that this is what, you know, that we were interpreting it properly. So he actually withdrew it. It wasn't something that...
It was withdrawn, right?
Right. He sent a correspondence via email asking to be withdrawn.
Good for him. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm glad you're glad.
Pardon?
I'm glad you're glad.
Oh, I'm very glad.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for coming.
Well, you know, when we left the meeting last time, we thought we were going to have a meeting with you all on March 7th, and I just happened to be going through the agenda and saw this on here for tonight. So, of course, me being me, ran around the neighborhood and said, hey, look at this. So anyway, we just wanted to confirm that the plan that was, or, you know, the petition was a done deal. And like I said, I know he could come up with something different, mm-hmm. and we'll deal with that. I am kind of curious, though. I'm sure there are things that could be done where the neighbors would not be notified. Is that correct?
Only if it stays residential, correct, Trevor? A change in zoning requires notification of all neighbors.
That's correct.
So if it, you know, so let's say he would raise the house, and, you know, as he initially planned, but wanted to, and I believe at the last meeting we were told that he could pay 40% of that property where the house currently is that would be raised, but it could not be used for commercial. Did I understand that?
That's correct.
Okay. So let me just ask this then. Let's say he would put in a eat-in restaurant, not this crazy drive-through concept. So if he needed parking, would he be able to allow his eat-in customers to park on that property? If he can't use it for commercial, can those cars that are eating at that restaurant park on that property?
That is a good question. I don't know.
Okay. We can look into that, though.
Could you please? And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, and who's going to monitor that, you know, if that's something that he should not be allowing. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, he can't do it if he's not allowed to. Mm-hmm. And we have a crack staff. We have a great staff that
God love
takes
our,
care of us.
God love our alleyway. So, you know, we just, you know, I live right across the street from where the house is that he was intending to raise. Jennifer here lives right next door, so we're probably impacted the most. So anyway, so this is good news. I'm glad we didn't have to come and state our case with you all.
Don't stay away, though.
However, this is, I said to Jennifer, this is really very interesting.
So every first and third Tuesday of the month.
Yeah.
Come join us.
I guess I just never really thought that, you know, just anybody could go. And
yep.
So this is really very interesting. I'd like to attend more because, you know, just to know what's going on.
Thank you. We'd love to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for being proactive and participating. And I know it is on your own behalf, but at the same time, there are probably others who are interested and concerned as well. So you're stepping up to voice your concerns, thoughts, comments, and ideas to us helps us to do a better job as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're right. It's not just myself and the neighbors, but it's the children going to school and the fire department, you know, trying to get out. And I mean, we had a whole laundry list of stuff. So we were delighted to see that this happened. But
right.
We know this might not be the end.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I attended the Plan Commission meeting. I agree with their decision not to rezone the property highway business. That's a residential area, and it should never have gotten to be a highway business. The Plan Development District, which is right next door to the property, was not rezoned from commercial to highway business when the gas station expanded, which it should have been. So there were a lot of concerns that didn't come up tonight, but gas stations do not belong on a residential street. The gas station objection came up with Webster Heights, it came up with the St. Joseph's condominiums, and again it came up on this neighborhood. So we need to pay attention to where we put the gas stations. Thanks.
Do I have a motion to pick up the rules? Trustee Harris. Trustee Dart, seconds. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Item number 9, action regarding resolution 27.
Should we place on file?
Okay.
Yes.
Move to receive and place on file.
Thank you.
Do I have a second?
Second
by Trustee Green. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 9, action regarding resolution of 2017-03 regarding the vacation of portion of Dauphin Road. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second? I will second. Any discussion? This is the property on Dauphin along East River where the gentleman has been taking care of the property since 1980-something. And it's wet land. And it's not buildable. The village has no intention of building it. And the village also has been going through a process of identifying properties that doesn't make sense. Simply don't make sense for the village to own, and if we can get them on the tax rolls, that's a good thing. So, gentleman lives next door. There's a vacant parcel. He came to the village board, and we discussed giving him the property or selling him the property for the cost, correct? Mr. Burnt or Brad, is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
So this resolution basically establishes the public hearing date and time and authorizes the publication, the notice publication, prior to the public hearing.
Thank you. So, we have a motion. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Someone would like to speak. Trustee Green. Seconded by? Trustee Harris. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Come on up.
That is a problem. This isn't Dauphin Street. It's Dauphin
Road. Right next to your house.
Please. I can't go through anymore.
It's down by the river.
Dauphin Drive. But Dauphin Drive.
Dauphin Drive.
But it's the same as Dauphin Street, but it's just down
on the other side of East River Drive.
Yeah, it's right.
It's the last piece of property all the way down by East River.
I was just curious. I wasn't objecting. I didn't know it was called something different down there.
Okay, thanks. Do I have a motion to pick up the rules? Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion passes. So, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Moving on to number 10. Approval of transportation plat for safe routes to school project construction easements. Trustee Green.
Moved to approve.
Seconded by?
Second.
Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
Should we hear from Craig just to get some background?
Mr. Burnt.
When we started this Safe Route to School project, we initially did not believe that we would require any easements for the sidewalk construction. We have since learned a lot about sidewalk construction and DOT regulations. What these TLEs are, temporary land easements, they are basically construction easements that allow us to do shaping and grading next to the sidewalk, where we have slopes that we have to kind of blend into the new sidewalk grades. And also we have to do some work on some driveways. We may have to replace one panel or two panels on a driveway to get it to match up with the new sidewalk.
Or a whole driveway.
And it could be a whole driveway. There are some that look like they might be a whole driveway. Well, when we do a construction project for our utilities and our major reconstructions, we don't use temporary land easements because we don't have to follow that protocol. We just negotiate an agreement with the property owner. But because this is a DOT project, we have to have a written easement with an easement agreement for each one of these places where we're going to step onto the private property. So one of the steps in that process is the governing body has to approve the plat, which shows all of these easements that will be acquired. So that's what we're asking you to approve, is just to approve the plat. That allows us then to proceed with the project. It will get recorded at the Register of Deeds. One of the things we had to do in addition to the easements is the negotiation for the easements has to be handled by an approved DOT contractor. So we have retained a consultant to do the negotiations. And we will pay $200 per easement, and maybe in some cases a little more. But property owners will not incur any cost on the project, no construction cost. We replace a driveway slab or something like that. That's our cost, not theirs. And these are temporary, so once the project's done, then they're voided out. So these are all temporary. There's no permanent easements. Initially, we thought there were a couple permanent easements, but we found in the title searches that we already had those permanent easements, the sidewalk out here in front of the village hall. It's actually on Bellin property, but we have a permanent agreement with them. Excuse me. So this is just requesting the board to approve the plat so it can be submitted, and then we can proceed with the easements for the properties.
So then the next step is to have the contractor contact the property owners? And
yep.
Will that be the first they hear of this?
Yep.
Or?
Okay. They've already been sent a letter.
Okay.
But they can't meet face-to-face until this is approved by the governing body. Okay. We're a bit of, when we put this on the agenda, we were on a bit of a time crunch because we were trying to get this project bid during this current fiscal year. So at the same time, we requested a time extension on the project because if we have an objection on an easement, it's going to move us back and we'll miss our deadline. We did get that extension from the DOT, so we're adding 9 months to the overall schedule of the project. Ironically, and this is on Public Works for next week, so I'm covering what we're going to talk about next week. Ironically, the original schedule the DOT gave us for the project had that 9 months in it. We didn't think we were going to need that much time, so we took that out, but now we're adding it back in. So we're back to where we started.
Okie doke. Any questions for Craig?
And we're certain that they're going to be contacted and notified, that there won't be any possibility of slippage in there as there was in regards to sidewalk meetings that we had, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, with Gary Thomas, Beth Ann Delk, Boss, Stephen Weber, Jennifer J. Van Leyen, anybody who would be properly notified, contacted, and so there won't be any misunderstanding.
This relates to the easements.
Correct.
But we will have at least one and probably a couple of meetings with all the residents once we have the design done so we can show them what the project looks like and where everything is going to be. So that will be coming up. That will be separate from the easements.
We're basically going to have 30 contracts for the easements, so they will have had to be.
Yeah.
Proper fire planning, is all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So that we don't end up with the sticky wicket that we did last time.
Yep. Point well taken. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Item number 11, authorization to purchase a pickup truck for Parks Department. Mr. Clark is not feeling well, so he's not here, so we can say no. Do I have a motion on the table? Or a motion on the second?
Move to authorize the purchase of the replacement vehicle.
Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Green.
With the saying, Chris gets everything he asks for.
Any discussion? For the benefit of the audience, there's a schedule. Our Parks and Public Works Department try to keep a rolling inventory of trucks so they live out their useful life. We sell them and they plan for that. So this is all in the budget. It's not extra spending. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Agenda item number 12A through D.
E.
Pardon?
E.
Is it E? Thank you. Consent agenda through items A through E. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Moved to approve.
Thank you. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Do I have a motion to enter into closed session? Trustee Green. Seconded by Trustee Dart. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Do you need to read through the detail of it before we do that part?
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to convene into a closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.85(1)(e), deliberating or negotiating the purchase of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons required a closed session, specifically attorney contract and offer to purchase 3241 and 3245 Riverside Drive. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green, Trustee Atwood, any discussion? Roll call, Trustee Harris.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
President Rafter. Aye. Trustee Dirk.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Dennis.
Aye.
We are in closed session.